Boy, the NFL got it right. You start off with a stinker, and we all turn away from that game where the Bills were dragging the Jags to watch one of the greatest games we've seen in primetime in quite some time.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good heap. It is a beautiful Tuesday here on Theoretically Speaking. We got an action-packed show. We're going to have Mike Tannenbaum join us today. Former Dolphins president, former Jets GM Mike Tannenbaum, who pulls up on us every single Tuesday of the football season to tap in and give some insights. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. I got my guy C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and the twos. As always, dapper down in a Hawaiian shirt. What would you say? How many consecutive days is this now on air that you've worn a Hawaiian shirt? And when did this streak start?
Well, you know, it's not consecutive because I wear the ESPN West Palm polo from time to time.
That doesn't count. Days. That's a uniform. That doesn't count.
I don't remember the last time I haven't worn a Hawaiian shirt. Or, well, you know, I also dressed up in a jersey once because it was Jersey Day in the office.
The Justin Tucker jersey, the I'm washed jersey, the I'm maybe the worst kicker in the NFL jersey, though that's the only jersey you have for your favorite team, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I might put that one up in the rafters.
Yeah.
That might get the retired.
It's over with.
Last time I wore like a t-shirt or a non-Hawaiian shirt, it's been ever since I got back from Puerto Rico. Visited Puerto Rico for a four-day weekend, bought a Hawaiian shirt there, and said, you know what? I like the way this feels.
How many Hawaiian shirts do you now own in your closet? Like, if I were to go in the C-Cat's closet, is it like 25 of them in a row? Like, I'm at like a clothing rack store?
Yeah, I'm like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing every day, which is a different Hawaiian shirt. I would say I'm definitely double digits. I might be at 14.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I actually appreciate that. I love when people simplify their wardrobe, and it gives you less options in the morning. It gives you more clarity on what you're doing, and it also refocuses your decision-making to something more important, something that is more pertinent to your day. And speaking of your decision-making changing, Josh Allen on Monday Night Football. I mean, his decision-making has been pristine this year. The real reason why I've always been out on Josh Allen is because, well, he's been a turnover machine. The only guy with more turnovers than him since 2021 is another quarterback that played last night on Monday Night Football in Trevor Lawrence, except he doesn't come with any of the touchdowns. He doesn't come with any of the upside. Josh Allen clearly does. I don't want to be one of those people that live in hyperbole, and I also am leveled enough to not take this to a level that we don't need to be getting to. But, of course, the Bills slaughtered the Jaguars at home last night, 47-10. I stopped watching that thing right about nearing halftime once I realized this thing was wrapped up. Josh Allen was having his way with that Jaguars defense, and Trevor Lawrence couldn't figure a thing out, whether he was scrambling around for his life, running into sacks, or just throwing the ball directly into the hands of DeMar Hamlin. Like, there was nothing Trevor Lawrence did good last night, and there were zero things that Josh Allen did bad. That was absolutely shocking to see Josh Allen come out so strong. And C-Cat, like my boy Jalen said here in the chat, you had to be elated, excited for Josh. Were you more happy and proud last night watching Josh Allen than you were watching your guy Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against the Cowboys?
No.
Didn't go that far.
Wouldn't go that far. I know the fantasy football, you know, investments, so happy about Josh Allen, but it was great watching Josh Allen prove to what I believe him to be the hands-down second-best quarterback in the NFL, and it was in prime time. It was fun to watch.
They are a team that made a statement last night. The Buffalo Bills did. In fact, we had four teams make statements last night. Just some of them were whimpers. Some of them were statements that were a little negative when you think about the Jaguars and also the Bengals, who fell to the Commanders at home, who I told you, I literally said this yesterday. I said, the Bengals are the team that should be the most desperate. They're the team that can't afford to lose. I knew the Jaguars had no shot against the Bills. That was one of the easiest blowouts to predict. But the Commanders doing what they did against the Bengals last night, winning 38-33, and having Jaden Daniels have his breakout as a rookie, that has to just be dismantling to the confidence of any fan over there in Houday Nation. It's a weak saying, by the way.
It's an identity crisis. Yeah.
Houday
is tough.
That is the weakest slogan for any professional franchise. I'm not just talking about the NFL. That Who dat is cold? Like the Saints got something going down there. Right. Shout out New Orleans. Shout out the fam. Who day is just
and they still
lousy.
Debate about who started it, who stole who day, who dat from each other.
One is good and the other one sucks. So it doesn't matter who started it or who did it first. Like the Bengals can say they did it first, but if you did it first and it stunk, then you should have probably stopped doing it.
But you also look at how a team is performing and look at everything surrounding that team through a different lens. Maybe who day rocks if the Bengals are 3-0, looking strong, and people aren't talking badly about Joe Burrow.
It doesn't even make sense, though, as a problem. You got who day, you got Joe Burrow, who he's making more headlines, and he's getting more highlights for his slow-motion walkouts or his little weak B-boy haircut that he's got, the 0-3 Bengals whimpering around. I don't want to start on that, though. I want to start on a good note. I want to talk about the Monday Night Football statement that went in a positive direction because we're going to be doing that today. Give me your biggest Monday Night Football statement. Who made the biggest statement between the Bills, the Jaguars, the Bengals, and the Commanders? And for me, it's got to be Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And you came out of the gates and said it already, C-Cat. I want to cool the Jets on this. Everybody out here now is saying Josh Allen is clearly the second best quarterback in the NFL. Everybody is saying that he has paraded himself to the top, maybe even some have gone past that line that we're not allowed to do on this radio station and said that he's better than Mahomes right now. I can't allow that. But I don't want to go that far yet. I think the real statement that the Bills made last night, it wasn't about whether or not Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the league, clear cut. The statement he made was both of these Florida franchises outside of the Buccaneers, the Jaguars and the Dolphins, are absolutely stinky. They are bad football teams. Both came into this year thinking they can be in the playoffs, thinking they can maybe get away with winning a postseason game. Both this offseason invested $50-plus million a year in their quarterbacks. Both had expectations of growth this year, had positivity coming into the season, and neither one of them put up any kind of a fight against the Buffalo Bills. In back-to-back weeks, Josh Allen and the Bills served as a big giant, like one of those wall mirrors, the mall mirrors that you have to lean up against the wall when you're moving out of your house. You can't even carry it out yourself. You got to get the movers to do it because it's so damn thick and heavy. Josh Allen and the Bills were a big mirror, and the Buffalo Bills forced the Jaguars and the Dolphins in the past 2 weeks to look themselves in the mirror and say, we are not who we thought we were. And y'all obviously are. I don't see how a team in the Bills who lost so much talent over this offseason, who didn't have the kind of upgrades or the reinvestments in their offense that you saw from the Jaguars and the Dolphins, can be that demonstratively better than both of those teams. And I also know that both of those front offices now have a lot more questions regarding who they extended this offseason into a Tagovailoa and in Trevor Lawrence. Neither one of those contracts have kicked in yet, and both of those guys look like they are four or five classes behind Josh Allen. You're going to have to pay those dudes $50-plus million a year. That means you're not going to be able to pay other spots on your roster. That means for the next 5, 6, 7 years, if you're the Dolphins or the Jaguars, you have absolutely no shot at contending in your conference, because I'm only talking about the Bills right now. I haven't even gotten to the other teams in the AFC that are more primed to be good, to be competent. The Dolphins and the Jaguars have to look themselves in the mirror today and just say, we are absolutely abysmal, C-Cat. And I think that's the statement the Bills made. Not that Josh Allen is the number two quarterback in the league yet. I'm pumping the brakes. I'm cooling the Jets. I refuse to be a prisoner of the moment. Give Lamar Jackson a chance to respond. What's our game next week? Bills versus Ravens. Let me see the Bills against some competition. That's the biggest statement we had from last night. The Bills showing the Florida teams that they absolutely stink. That's the statement. Not that Josh Allen's the number two quarterback in the league right now. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Who made the biggest statement on Monday Night Football last night between the four teams? And who or what was that statement? To me, it was Josh Allen and the Bills, and it was that the Florida teams have a lot of thinking to do this coming offseason. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, as you always do here on Theoretically Speaking, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to tap in on a Tuesday. Tap in on a Tuesday. I like the sound of that. 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. ESPN released their FPI latest football power index rankings. The Bills are atop the rankings, and the Dolphins, you want to know where they place, C-Cat?
Where's that?
DFL, dead effing last, number 32 in the league right now at -7.3, as the Bills are a positive 7.1. There's a huge chasm between the contenders and teams like the Dolphins and the Jags right now in the league. And you wouldn't have thought that going into this offseason. Both of those teams expected to be in the postseason, and they have no chance now, not just this year, but likely going forward, because the situations don't look like they're getting much better.
Theo, I'm feeling hyper-reactive right now.
Uh-oh.
Because what you just said confirms what I believe in my brain right now. This is not a statement about the playoffs. This is not a statement about the Super Bowl. This is not even a statement about the MVP this year. Mm. This is a statement about right now. If instead the Bills played the Chiefs and not the Ravens next weekend, the Bills would win the football game. Right now, the Bills are the best team in football. We all know what the Chiefs do throughout the season. They always get better. Mm. So I'm not willing to say that yet. But right now, the Bills are playing the best football in the NFL.
I have to agree with you. Even as a Chiefs fan, and as a guy who hates to admit how much ground Josh Allen is making up, because to be honest with you, C-Cat, if I were to have an honest moment with all of you guys right now.
Be vulnerable?
I'm be vulnerable. I was coming into this show, coming into this day, prepared to have that conversation about Josh Allen. Has he reached the heir of Patrick Mahomes? Has he snuck in, not level with him, not eye to eye, but has he snuck into that little cloud? Like, is he in the room? Is he opening the door in the room where Patrick Mahomes is sitting on his throne? I was ready. But the thing that made me pump the brakes on it is I have to consider the competition. That's one thing we always do here on Theoretically Speaking. We don't get out ahead of things in the wrong direction. You have to always consider the competition. It adds context to your conversation. And who have the Bills played this year? Who have they beaten? What we've seen these amazing performances from Josh Allen, but we've also seen him in positions where he's literally been having his way left and right against defenses that have zero answers, against teams that have figured out nothing over the offseason and obviously did not have a good plan of attack for stopping this Bills offense. Like, yes, he beat the Jaguars last night. The way they were playing, anybody could have showed up there and beat down on that defense. Yeah, they destroyed the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins have looked terrible against everybody this year except for, the Jaguars. Like, I don't understand how we can take those three games from Josh Allen, who also has been the most volatile quarterback in the league over the past 3 or 4 years. There's a reason why he's led the league in turnovers, outside of that guy named Trevor Lawrence, who's now competing with him for that. Why he continues to lead the league in turnovers year after year. It's because Josh Allen has ups and downs, and against bad competition, he can look heroic at times. Against good competition, when he's pushed, when he's forced to try and make plays that he probably shouldn't, that's when you get the other side of the card with Josh Allen, and we haven't seen that yet this year. We're going to see it this coming weekend against the Ravens. If he performs like that, if the Bills are able to beat the Baltimore Ravens, I believe that's on the road, right, in Baltimore?
Yeah.
I think that then we can start having that conversation as to whether or not, I mean, clearly we can put him ahead of Lamar Jackson, right? But also whether or not Josh Allen has crept up and is playing the best football in the league and also should be considered the best football player in the National Football League. But it's too early because the competition has been too poor.
Oh, man. Right now, looking at that slate, Sunday Night Football is Ravens hosting the Bills. Ravens are 2.5-point favorites. If this game ends 33-31, Ravens win, I'm still willing to say Josh Allen is above. I didn't watch the football game, but if you're able to put about that amount of points, if it is clearly an offensive affair, I'm excited for it. Right now, I'm more worried about my spot on the couch and my meal during that game rather than the takeaways during that football game. I want to enjoy it first.
So do you think, is there a way that Lamar, like, right now, you squarely have Josh Allen as the number two quarterback in the league. You believe he's better than Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
So is there anything Lamar can do in that game on Sunday to prove to you otherwise? Is there a scenario in which you say, oh my gosh, that guy actually is the guy that's the quarterback for my team that has two MVPs, that was in the AFC Championship game last year and only lost because he was going up against that Kansas City Chiefs team that was indestructible down the edge of that season? Is there anything he can do on Sunday to prove it to you?
If Lamar can come from behind using his arm against the Bills, we'll start the conversation.
Okay.
It'll be just one data point, but again, that is one of the continuing conversations about Lamar Jackson. Is the Ravens have a certain way to win football games ever since the Lamar Jackson era began, and we saw that exact formula last weekend against the Cowboys. Yep. Run the ball down the throat, get an early lead, choke the clock out. Well, it kind of had a faulty fourth quarter there, but that's kind of how they won the football game. If we can see Lamar Jackson do something that he's done a couple of times in his career, once came in the regular season against the Chiefs, come from behind, use his arm. Part of the reason why Lamar Jackson is as dynamic and is as highly ranked as he is because he's not just an arm, but he's obviously 50% of the equation is his legs.
Yeah.
But this is the NFL. It's a passing league. I want to see that he's able to do that. If Lamar Jackson can come from behind, win that football game with his arm, I'll have the conversation about debating who's number two.
And that's the thing. So for me, I won't. That's why I refuse right now to just hand it over to Josh Allen, because he also hasn't been tested for real. The Cardinals game was somewhat of a test, but the fact that that defense is what held them up, I do give a pass because it was week one. It's coming out of a preseason where you're not really playing. You have a bunch of new weapons. It's still a relatively new offensive system, so I give the Bills a pass there, but they were able to come from behind and win in week one. I just still want to see what the Bills look like, and they're going to get tested. Let's look at their schedule ahead. It's not just the Ravens here, but they have a few games here where you're going to say, okay, if they get through this stretch, the shifting of the MVP odds, like what we've seen, because, right, Josh Allen's the leader in the clubhouse right now for the MVP, right?
Pretty sure.
The shifting in the odds, and also the football power index having them number one over the Chiefs, over the Niners, over the other extremely – I said Niners as if they were even good this year – we're going to find out. So they have Sunday Night Football at the Ravens. That's going to be this coming weekend. The following weekend, they remain on the road and they travel to Houston, Texas to face the Houston Texans, who have a defense that, I mean, again, Sam Darnold had his way. Sam Darnold darted him up, but you don't have the same level of weapons on the outside that Darnold had against the Texans. I would love to see what he does against that defense and in a third straight road game. So really, the Bills might have had a super-duper easy runway, but these next three games, we're going to really learn a lot more about them, because the next game after that, Monday Night Football at the Jets. That is a hell of a way to back up the claims that people are saying right now today. If he is that number two guy in the NFL, if he is the quarterback that y'all are going to say is contending with Mahomes now, I need to see something out of these next three games. I don't give a damn what he did in the first three.
Well, I think that's kind of the preferred schedule for any NFL team in the year 2024. It's an easy start, and then you ramp into your harder games.
Yeah.
Because you see how low passing is in the NFL. If you're a passing team, it's going to take some time to get into rhythm, and now the Bills look like they are fully in rhythm.
They look good.
Ready to take on the meat of that schedule. You ask about the MVP odds. Right now, Josh Allen, the leader in the clubhouse, by a hair, he's at plus 230. Mahomes close behind at plus 250, and no one's really in the same conversation of those two as far as the MVP award goes. Plus 1,400 is CJ Stroud.
Wow.
Plus 1,600, Jalen Hurts. Still haven't said Lamar Jackson's name.
Yeah.
Plus 1,750 is Rodgers. Plus 1,750, Brett Jackson.
Yeah, they're losing right now. And when the Ravens start rearing back into form, he'll climb the leaderboard there in the clubhouse, and he can really do it this Sunday against the Bills. Like, I don't think... Again, you can glean too much from this win. I love that people are having their parades for Josh Allen. I love that there is the fanfare around him that is starting to kind of cloud back up and people are pumping their chest. It was disrespectful that he was called the most overrated quarterback in the NFL this preseason. By his NFL, you know, it wasn't like this was media talking. It wasn't like it was Twitter trolls. Literally, ESPN had that poll with NFL players and they said Josh Allen's the most overrated player in the league. And he's not performing like it. In fact, the most overrated player in the league was the guy that was quarterbacking the Bengals in the game that was the finale of Monday Night Football in Joe Burrow. And I'm not just saying that in hindsight because the Bengals have started off 0-3. Can we take another trip down memory lane, C-Cat? Let's take a trip down memory lane And listen to what I told y'all about Josh Allen and Joe Burrow back this offseason. I have to be the one to bear some bad news for the Bengals fans out there. Joe Burrow is clearly the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, especially coming into this season. I was right. Joe Burrow is not the guy that y'all painted him out to be. Dan Orlovsky loves to hop on TV any chance he gets and just glaze up Joe Burrow. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is the one dude the Chiefs don't want to see. That's the one team, the one quarterback the Chiefs don't want to line up against. I don't understand how Joe Burrow can get all of the credit for the Bengals making the Super Bowl. And now, just because his defense didn't get some stops against a rookie quarterback, y'all don't want to give him any of the blame. If he gets the credit for the Bengals making that Super Bowl run, when really you're talking about him having three elite weapons, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, an elite defense at the time with Jesse Bates back there hovering around as a free safety, his defensive coordinator, Big Lou, calling up some of the best schemes ever against Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest defensive coordinators at scheming against and slowing down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Joe Burrow did not carry this Bengals team to the Super Bowl that year when they inevitably fell to the Rams. And you paid him like a guy that could carry a team. But you know what y'all forgot when y'all paid him plus $55 million a year? You know what you forgot about Joe Burrow? We haven't seen him be good unless he's had two elite weapons on the outside. And the problem with having two elite wide receivers these days is you got to pay them dudes. The Bengals are another team. I don't expect them to get back to the Super Bowl again under Joe Burrow. I will say that today, and this is not an overreaction. I've been saying it this offseason. I'll say it again today as they started off 0-3. The statement the Bengals made last night in losing to the Commanders, a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels, who looked like the better quarterback on the field. Not that Joe Burrow looked bad, but Jaden Daniels looked like the guy I would rather have quarterbacking my team. The Bengals are telling us they won't be back on that stage. So continue to give Joe Burrow the credit. Continue to applaud the fact that he has a winning record against Patrick Mahomes and continue to pat his back and say, well, buddy, it's all good. You made it to the Super Bowl. Because they won't ever be back there again with Joe Burrow at quarterback. And it's because there's two types of quarterbacks in this league, C-Cat. There's guys like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, who you don't have to pay a receiver $35-plus million a year to make him look good on the field, to be a security blanket. And then there's guys like Joe Burrow who are closer to Tua Tagovailoa and Jared Goff than he is to that elite realm of quarterbacks. And that's the ugly truth that the Bengals learned last night. Not just the fan base, but that front office. And that's the reason why they're a little bit hesitant. They're going to let T. Higgins walk. They're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. But once they do that, the reason why this is Joe Burrow's fault, that defense couldn't stop nobody because the front office couldn't pay nobody because you're paying Joe Burrow so much money now.
You could even put Dak Prescott in the conversation, like paying C.D. Lamb.
Yeah.
Like paying, or they paid Dak, so he's going to be there for a while, and they need weapons like that around him to have hope to be good. And with Joe Burrow, I think there's two paths he could have gone here. And I'm not saying that he chose to take one path or the other. It's just that what type of quarterback he is when you look back at his career in 20 years. Is he going to be looked at as an Eli Manning? Where, oh my God, remember when Joe Burrow did that, somehow slayed that dragon of Patrick Mahomes not once, but twice?
Yeah.
Or he's going to be looked at as maybe a Peyton Manning in a career, where he did slay that dragon, continues to do that a couple of times in his career, even though he's not looked at as the Tom Brady of his era. And right now, reading the tea leaves for the next 15 years, he's getting closer to the side of the Eli Manning type legacy where, he might be looked at as fondly from his own fan base, but he's not respected among the greats.
And the problem is, yes, Joe Burrow is closer to Eli Manning than he is Peyton Manning, at least when it comes to like legacy and projecting things right now. The problem is the Giants never had to pay Eli like they did Peyton. The Bengals are paying Joe Burrow top of the market money. And I'm not saying the dude isn't worth that. But his success is obviously contingent on having elite wide receiver play. And when you have to pay the quarterback and the wide receiver, you start to run out of money. This is a zero-sum game. It's a salary cap sport. This ain't like LSU when you could just have the bad guy drop off some bread in a double cup, styrofoam cup through the fast food line. You just stuff the money in the bottom cup, put some Coke in the first one, Coca-Cola, by the way, and then hand it to the recruit, and you could just pile on all this talent, CEH and Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and all of that. No, there's a limit to how much talent you can stockpile in the NFL, especially when you're paying a guy at quarterback $50-plus million. There's a reason why Josh Allen ain't got no number one receiver right now. There's a reason why Patrick Mahomes doesn't either. It's because their team is going to build around them with other elite weapons. I feel like I'm starting to sound like Evan Cohen. And that's what I don't like that at all. I'm vehemently against that. I want him to have his own thing, but he's starting to kind of rub off on me where I do think a guy like Joe Burrow, who's going to force his front office to have to also pay an elite wide receiver, will never be able to get back to that stage because he's already getting passed up by other dudes in this conference. Like CJ Stroud is showing promise. What is Justin Herbert going to be under Jim Harbaugh? I don't know, man. I'm all the way out on the Bengals, and I have been before they started 0-3, and now I feel even more fortified in that decision. Big ups to the Commanders, though. They did their thing.
They sure did. And Colin Russo recited this stat yesterday on Russo and Rizzo about how only five teams modern era have made the playoffs after starting 0-3.
Yeah.
The most recent one was 2018 Texans. Like, this is a dark pit. Being 0-3 doesn't feel, like numbers-wise,
yeah,
statistics-wise, 0-3 doesn't seem that difficult to come back from to make the playoffs in the NFL. But the stats say otherwise.
Yeah. Not only do the stats say otherwise, what were you about to say there?
Because I'm not willing to say the Bengals won't make the playoffs, but I should feel that way.
I'm willing to say it. In the AFC this year, with as many teams that are going to be competitive, as many teams that expect to be in the playoff race, as well as some of the squads that got off to hot starts that we didn't expect, I don't see the Bengals making the playoffs. And they're going to have to earn their money back over these next 2 weeks. They're going to be at the Panthers. Legacy game for Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, Andy Dalton can do the most hilarious thing ever. And that's to literally drive the nail into the coffin of the Bengals season this year by supplanting the guy that they talked about, cleared the air. The Andy Dalton era gets just washed over in Cincinnati because he wasn't able to do it in primetime. If he's able to have that 1 o'clock kick in Carolina and drive the nail in the coffin for the Bengals this year, make them 0-4, that would be great. But then the very next week, the Bengals are hosting the Ravens. And the Ravens are clearly a better football team than them. And you know what they're really good at doing that the Bengals can't seem to stop? Running the damn football. Derrick Henry going to have a field day against them. I am all the way out on these Bengals. The statement they made is a bit of a whimper. And it also is that, hey, we might have made a mistake. We might have made a mistake paying hefty money to Joe Burrow a little early because they had that great Super Bowl run. He got a lot of credit there, and nobody wants to give him the blame today. I'll be the one to do it here on Theoretically Speaking. Chris Canty did the same on Unsportsmanlike. We'll see if Mike Tannenbaum feels the same way. Mike T joining us on a Tuesday to talk some ball on the other side. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
The Super Bowl feels like a long shot for the Cincinnati Bengals coming off of not one, not two, but three straight losses to open the season. Last team to make the playoffs after starting 0-3, the Houston Texans in 2018. The Bengals are chasing that. First, they got to chase a win. Joining us here on a Tuesday, our friend, general manager of ESPN West Palm, former GM of actually the Jets and former president of the Dolphins, our guy Mike Tannenbaum, pulling up on a Tuesday after a doubleheader of Monday Night Football. And Mike T, I just want to start you off with this. Are the Bengals dead? Are they cooked?
I don't think so. You look at their division and certainly Cleveland has had its struggles. And then, Pittsburgh's undefeated, but Theo, their quarterback is a week-to-week situation, and Baltimore just got their first win. So remember, seven teams make the playoffs. We got a long, long way to go.
It's a long way to go, but it also feels like that Bengals team has a long way to go to being competent around Joe Burrow. I don't blame Joe Burrow for losing the game last night because obviously he had a great game. They put up good numbers. There were a couple of drives that ended in field goals where they needed touchdowns, but you can't knock him for that early on. But I do blame Joe Burrow for the state of the Bengals roster. The reason why they don't have a lot of those elite veterans that they had on the defensive side of the ball is because they have to pay him and now Jamar Chase. Like, how much of this is also partially because the Bengals have to pay Joe Burrow, not that he's playing bad football?
Yeah, it's totally fair. We had that same conversation about, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence at $55 million a year. you know, a $250 million cap, you have to say to yourself, you know, is that worth it? So, look, you know, I think the good news for Cincinnati is Joe Burrow's played great. He has taken this team to a Super Bowl. He looks like he's over the wrist injury, but it's a fair point. Their margin for error is a lot smaller, and that defense, like, you know, DJ Reader's now in Detroit, for example, they have to hit on their young guys.
Mike T, joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, following a Monday Night Football doubleheader that saw the Bills dominate the Jaguars, and the Commanders have a thrilling win over the Bengals. A late touchdown from Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin sealed that thing up. Mike, when you saw that from Jaden Daniels, what was your first thought? Because there are some people now calling into question whether or not the Bears made the right pick at number one.
Yeah, when you could go against cover zero, meaning that it's man-to-man and no deep help, and the defense is going to rush more players than you could block, and you throw a ball that had a 10% chance of being completed with the game on the line, it's really remarkable. They haven't punted since week one. Man. Jaden Daniels is playing incredibly well.
Yeah, that was Caleb Williams is the one that texted his punter, Torrey Taylor, saying we're not going to punt much. The Bears have, I think, punted the most in the NFL, whereas the Commanders can't seem to get the punter out on the field. Pretty incredible stuff from the Commanders. Where do you stand, though, now on sit versus start with rookie quarterbacks? I've always been in the opinion of it's not about whether or not you should always sit or start a rookie quarterback. It's is he ready or not? Is your team in position for him to succeed or not? It should be a case-by-case basis. Do you have a firm rule on sitting versus starting?
I would have a lean towards not starting, just to sit there and learn and let the game slow down a little bit. Now, look, that's obviously proven not to be the case with Washington because he's playing so well, Theo. But generally speaking, like, let the game slow down. A lot of times, believe it or not, it's the first time these guys have had a job. You know, get comfortable with your apartment, your commute, learn the people in your building, know the playbook inside out, and then each week, you know, come up with an expert level of mastery of understanding your defensive tendencies of the other team.
Well said there, and that's exactly what he was able to do as he and Terry McLaurin was connecting on deep shots multiple times against the Bengals after the Bengals actually called them out for having a college offense. It ended up working out last night. I'm curious, you already brought up Trevor Lawrence, Mike T. It's hard to find a situation worse than where the Jaguars actually stand right now because that contract hasn't even kicked in yet. Trevor Lawrence, 0-8 in his last 8 starts. They've named the stadium after him. They've committed the next 5 years after Trevor Lawrence. At what point do we actually pull the plug and say, hey, maybe this guy actually isn't as good as we thought he would end up being in the league?
Yeah, I think we're a ways away from that. Like you said, they just paid him, you know, a couple hundred million in guaranteed money. Theo, he's got to be their guy. You just got to work through it. And, you know, you go back a couple of weeks ago, they were dominating the Dolphins, and then Travis Etienne fumbles at the one. Javon Howell makes that great play, and it seems like from that moment on, this team has really struggled on offense.
Yeah, Mike, on the Bills side of that game, me and Theo have been talking about it. They haven't played much great competition the first 3 weeks of the season. Have you drawn much conclusion from the Bills' red-hot start of the season, or are we waiting and seeing?
I think they're going to be really hard to beat, guys. You go back to last year when Joe Brady took over. They led the league with 36 rushing attempts per game. This is a James Cook sort of like Dalton Kincaid team with a good offensive line and a quarterback that's not turning the ball over. So I like them. I like the way they're playing. And you could see, like, they're going to be hard to beat just because teams can't match their physicality. We saw that last night.
Yeah, and this is the first year they're without Stephon Diggs for quite some time now. How does that how can that help a quarterback in an offense taking away, which we know who is a dynamic receiver like Diggs?
Yeah, I think Josh Allen answered that question last night when he talked about, hey, we're going to get it to the open guy. No one's here is worrying about their stats or touches. And, you know, I think you can look at Green Bay, very similar situation where they have 4 or 5 guys, Ontarius Wicks, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, that can all make plays. I think you're seeing, you know, a very similar approach with, you know, Green Bay.
That's
with Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think that is, that's been key for that franchise for the Green Bay Packers start. I mean, they're doing it now with a backup quarterback. Jordan Love hopefully coming back next week, your guy, the guy that you paraded for. And for the Bills now, like, do you think then, is Joe Burrow, from your analytic eye, do you think he's a guy that can survive without a Jamar Chase level talent. Like, we've seen Lamar Jackson do it. We've seen Josh Allen do it. We've seen Patrick Mahomes do it. Is he in that category? Because earlier I said he's closer to Tua than he is those guys. And the team, the franchise, is actually paying their roster similarly to what the Dolphins are doing. So they might agree.
Yeah, I would say this. Like, he's going to have to do it with, you know, Tyler Boyd's gone. Presumably T. Higgins has gone a year. Like, I expect Jamar Chase to be there. But, you know, maybe it's going to be Andre Yoshevis, you know, Jermaine Burton, their third-round pick. Like, I think it's probably somewhere in the middle where they'll keep one, but they can't keep all those weapons.
Mike T joining us following a thrilling week three, which ended with Jaden Daniels taking over the place there with a huge touchdown to Terry McLaurin. I do want to ask you this, Mike T. There was so much action through these 3 weeks. Is there any team that literally like flipped your opinion on them through these first 3 weeks? Maybe you thought one way, you thought there's no chance this team makes the postseason, and now you think that there's a chance they can contend for a Super Bowl? Or maybe it was the other way around, a team you thought that would be good that is struggling out of the gates.
Yeah, the Vikings and their defense. I called the game on Sunday with Steve Levy on ESPN Radio, and they dismantled a really good Houston Texan offense. Mm. And boy, what a great job Brian Flores is doing. You know, one snap, they got everybody up and they're blitzing. Next snap, they got everybody up and they're dropping. They've been doing an incredible job.
What about we talked about this yesterday. I think this time next year, we're talking about Sam Darnold still starting games for the Minnesota Vikings. How likely do you see that to be? What would he have to do this year to keep that job out there in Minnesota?
It's a really fair point. I don't think he has to do anything crazy. Just keep holding serve. Mm. You know, just be consistent. He played really well. You know, he doesn't turn the ball over. 4 touchdowns. And the game just seemed to slow down for him, which is sometimes happens, guys. Like, things need to slow down. And, you know, you look at Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, those are players that, you know, resurrected their careers, and, you know, I think it could happen again. And, you know, Sam seems like a great person who just had, you know, some of these, you know, turnover, you know, sort of like proclivities. And I think if he could smooth that out, I think your point about him starting next year is definitely on the table.
Mike, I feel like on these airwaves and across sports media, we're very fast to call for jobs maybe then we should be in reality. You've sat in those meetings. How quickly are you to start talking about a coach's job into a season? Because we're 3 games in, and we're hearing Mike McCarthy rumors already. We're 3 weeks in, and we're hearing rumors all across the league about different teams that are stumbling out of the gates. How much grace period do these coaches get into a struggling start?
Every situation is different, but you want to know, like, hey, if we're going to make a change, what are the options? Who are we going to get? Are they in the building? You know, there's a myriad of factors that go into it. You know, have you met with the coach to see if he could course correct? So, you know, look, Mike McCarthy was on a 1-year deal. I don't think anyone's really surprised about that. But, you know, one of the things that the Jones family has to think about is, like, well, who's going to take over? And is that going to make this, you know, the team's performance any better?
Right, because it feels like that's more of a roster situation similar to the Bengals than it is like a Mike McCarthy thing, though it's not like he's been blowing things out of the water here. Last one for you here, Mike T. Next week, we have the Ravens and we have the Bills on primetime television. For you, for your money, where do you feel these two teams stand? Who do you think is stronger in that contest? The Ravens will have it at home, so they're favored, but it's really close. I think you set the lines, what,
2.5?
2.5. Who do you think is playing? Is going to be playing better football come Sunday night?
Yeah, I don't know, Baltimore at home. Just really like the way Derrick Henry played. I saw John Harbaugh's comments today. I mean, that's really who they want to be. Mm. I think he could be a real difference maker. Just when you think you're going to have to load up the box, you know, to defend Derrick Henry, I think that's when Lamar can be at his most dangerous, especially with a very explosive Zay Flowers. So it should be a heck of a game. But Baltimore at home with sort of like a resurgent Derrick Henry.
Hey, I felt it. You confirmed it. I'll be heading to Hard Rock Bet soon. Appreciate you, Mike T. Thanks for pulling up on a Tuesday, and we'll chop it next week.
Okay, thank you.
That's our guy, Mike Tannenbaum. His appearance is always presented by Eisner Amper, and he has me feeling good about how I feel going into this game. Now, I'm hoping that line moves some, C-Cat. I'm going to wait on it a little bit through the week. I think as the Bills hype continues, can't you see that thing moving closer to like almost even? Like, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people willing to put their money on the Ravens right now.
See, the hype is going to ramp up for the Bills as we wait for week four action, but yeah. I don't know if the hype that you hear on TV and on the radio and on social media is as correlated with the line movement. Yeah. I think money moves the line, and that's it.
You're right. I mean, I'm not a, you know, I'm not one of those guys that is all deep into the weeds of that stuff, but I do think if you're a fan, if you're like a generic fan right now, somebody that's looking to make some bets early on the NFL this weekend, there's no team that everybody's higher on than the Bills right now. And the Ravens, people are going to forget that performance against the Cowboys. It looked a little closer because of the onside kick, because of the Cowboys clawing back down the stretch. So I can see that thing moving. And once it does, maybe that's going to end up being our lock again for punchline picks, as we are now just one point behind Russo and Rizzo. We're making up ground. We're going to overtake them this weekend, and they're going to be the ones telling jokes on stage. We have some trivia.
Oh.
We have some trivia coming up here.
I'm glad you asked.
Yes. That music symbolizes, theoretically speaking, trivia here. So tap in on the YouTube stream as well as stick around on the radio, because C-Cat's got a question.
So Jaden Daniels has been lighting it up with his arm, but also with his legs the first three games this season. He is second all-time for the most rushing yards for a rookie in their first three games. Mm. With 171 rushing yards in Daniels' first three games with the Commanders. My question for you, Theo Dorsey, and the nation watching on YouTube, Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast listening in their car on ESPN 106.3, which rookie NFL quarterback has had the most rushing yards in their first three games?
That's a good one. The only question I'll have, and maybe you can give me the answer to this during the break, does it count for just games or is it starts? Because technically with like Lamar Jackson who sat and Jalen Hurts who sat, you know, I don't know if that would be. So we'll clarify that. We'll clarify that during the break to make sure. And we'll give the answer on the other side as well as the SafeBound get around. There's one wide receiver, a star wide receiver who is fawning over a quarterback on another team. I'm talking about an active wide receiver who is outwardly like romanticizing about the idea of having another quarterback, another starting quarterback on his team. That and more when we come back. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. I'm thinking it's Jalen Hurts. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
C-Cat, you know what's greater than 22?
What?
23.
And 24.
And 24. Shout out SpongeBob. The Kaiser Seahawks football team, well on their way maybe to the 23rd national championship. Not in football history, but in all of the Kaiser program's history. They're off to a 3-0 start. They are the defending NAIA national champions. And Coach Miles Russ has them guys coached up well so far. They've got back-to-back road games. The next time you can catch them at home will be October 12th. That's a 6 o'clock Saturday kickoff against Warner. Yeah, they're traveling up to Georgia to face Thomas University. I used to cover that squad. But when it comes to Kaiser, not just the football team, the Seahawks National Championships is their game. Seahawks is their name. Championships is their game. They have 22 national championships to the history of all their programs. I'm talking women swimming and diving. I'm talking about the golf squad. I'm talking about lacrosse. I mean, they know how to win. Winning is in their threads. Winning is in their culture. KUSeahawks.com to tap in with the Kaiser Seahawks. You can check out the football squad. You can check out baseball, everything. All of the events and competitions they have going around campus. Check them out, KUSeahawks.com. All right, it's time. It's time to deliver on this trivia. Now, what was the question again, C-Cat?
Question was, you know, Jaden Daniels has the second most rushing yards in their first three games as a rookie. With 171 yards in the first three games.
A lot.
Which rookie NFL quarterback had the most rushing yards in their first three games? And we clarified, not their first three starts, yep. Their first three games.
So that would eliminate Lamar Jackson, who was behind Joe Flacco. That would eliminate Jalen Hurts, who was behind Carson Wentz. And that's it. So the rest of the names I have on my list here are RG3, Tim Tebow, which maybe I go ahead and eliminate that one as well. Didn't think about that. Just hit me. Cam Newton, Michael Vick, Marcus Mariota, and RG3. Those are the four that I've come down to. I know for sure it's one of those four. And to be honest with you, as a Cam Newton, as a former Panthers fan and a Cam Newton stan, I remember his rookie debut being all about the passing. I mean, he had 422 yards in his first game. Didn't have as much rushing early out of the gates. So I think that would set him back. So I'm going to eliminate Cam Newton off that list. I don't remember Michael Vick's debut. I don't remember his first three games with the Falcons. I'd imagine they were prolific as well. So now I'm just down to RG3, Vick, and Mariota. If I had to guess, because RG3, literally his game was running so much early on, the read option stuff, I think it would have to be him. The only other guy I would test on this would be Colin Kaepernick, but I don't think he started out of the gate. I think he had to wait a few games out there in San Francisco. So let's go with Robert Griffin III, former Commanders quarterback, as the guy that has the most rushing yards through 3 weeks in their first three starts. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm nice.
Way to go.
I'm nice.
Charlie Batch comes in third for 1998 with 160 yards.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that. How far down is Mariota? Is he in there?
He's in there somewhere. I don't have that.
Okay.
I don't have that full list.
Did he start out the... He did start out the gates. Yeah.
For the Titans?
Yeah. He did start out the gates. So there you have it. There you have it. Me killing the game so far here on Theoretically Speaking Trivia.
Apparently that trivia question was on the broadcast last night. I didn't know that.
Really? I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. Maybe between me going back and forth again. Or was it post? Was it probably at the end of the game? Was
that no thinking? Idea. That's the text I got. Like, oh, I guess you watched the game last night. You should know that.
I mean,
well, no, you know what? We got other screens. We got people in our lives.
Yeah. A lot of times that audio is down on those games, man. I'm multitasking at all times, man. You can't ever let people know your next move there. Always got other motion. We also have a lot of motion when we hop on that safe bound get around. It's that time to do so. Do we have time, actually, though, before we go to the happy hour with Tina?
We might have to kick it to the happy hour with Tina.
Let's bring in the safe bound get around when we bring in our ray of sunshine here as we start the happy hour with Tina. They call her the Patrick Mahomes of ESPN West Palm. I've heard she's the GOAT.
Who said that?
Bubba. Bubba said that, but Bubba's the same guy who said last night that both the Jaguars and the Bengals would win.
Oh.
So he's not really an accurate guy so far with his predictions or his pontifications. We'll see if Tina is. The happy hour around the corner with Tina, myself, and C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.